Our burden the last few Sundays has been on deliverance. And we are continuing in that thought. And deliverance is such a wonderful thing. It's just actually the very essence, the very theme of all that God wants to do for His people. All of His purpose, His desire is centered in that one word of deliverance. And I'm not going to review the previous messages this time for the sake of time, but we had Psalm 68 and 20 that has been our foundational theme. And we used another translation. It was, God is to us a God of deliverances, which is in the plural. Oh, I've just been blessed by that scripture. And so it's still on my heart this morning. And the scripture, that particular scripture really says He is the God of our salvation. And salvation simply means deliverance. So, when you stop and think about deliverance, it's all the way through the Bible. From beginning to the end, it speaks of deliverances. Yes. So, God is a God of deliverances. He came to, He sent His Son to save, which is to deliver. What did He save men from? Well, He saved men from sin. But in reality, He's saving men. He's delivering men and women from themselves. From the that nature that is in there that Satan wants to magnify and emphasize, to do the things that are contrary to the Word of God. But He did it for the purpose of saving us from damnation, from the very pits of hell. There's another scripture that I want to read in your hearing. I have mentioned it before. Deuteronomy 6 and 23, and I'm just going to give you a portion of it. He brought us out that He might bring us in. I just love that scripture. I had never read that one, to my knowledge, before, but it has been on my mind of what God is trying to do for all of us, is to bring us out, that He might bring us in. So what is He bringing us out of? Ourselves. He's wanting to make a new creature out of me. And if the scripture says that when Christ is in you, you are a new creature. Thank the Lord. But He's wanting to bring us out of those places that we are on the road of destruction, to bring us in. To bring us into what? Into His kingdom. Thank the Lord. So He has a plan that He wants us to be a part of His kingdom, His church. So He brought us out that He might bring us in. Thank the Lord. I want us to think about a little scripture that says, the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. Well, you and I cannot save ourselves. We cannot deliver ourselves. Only God has this deliverance of which we talk. So I want to give you another scripture in Ecclesiastes 8 and 8. It says, there is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. There is no discharge in that war. Now, I want to emphasize this part. There is no discharge in that war. What is it talking about? In other words, it's never going to end. This war of this spiritual war, this thing of man is not going to live forever. The scripture says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. That's just going to happen. There is no place for it to stop, for it to end. There is no end to that war. And neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to us. Listen, I want to tell you this morning, if we're not in the favor of God and living for God, we will not be delivered. Yes. It is only in Jesus' name that you and I can find deliverance in this life. Thank the Lord. So the scripture simply says that I have an appointment. There is nothing that is going to change that. Every one of us is going to meet that. We were born in this world, and we are going to die at some point. That's our appointment. So we still need, no matter how old we get, no matter where we are in life's path, no matter what is happening in our life, you and I still need a Savior, yes, a Deliverer. So I'm going to say it again, that you and I need and will always need deliverance, yes, of some kind. We're saved. We can be saved. We can be sanctified. We can be living a godly life. And yet along the way, we're going to need some of God's help in delivering us from different things that come to us in our life. I still emphasize the scripture that he says, he knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. He knows how. I'm going to need his deliverance as I live this life, as I come in contact with problems and battles of life. So I want to read this passage of scripture. This is Deuteronomy 3:24. And I like this. Don't you love the word of God? Oh, the word just speaks to us and it feeds us and nurtures us and it encourages us. It draws us to him. So it says, O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness. Are you beginning to see the greatness of the Lord? In the last several months, hasn't there been a number of messages on God's greatness? Haven't we heard a number of messages on extolling him and lifting him up and praising him, and then having these messages on deliverance, divine deliverance from God for mankind? And it is great. It's his greatness. And it says, Lord, you have begun to show this to your servant. The messages should be inspiring us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. It's a promise. He will be there for you in your battles. By the way, the title of this morning is Deliverances Through Our God of Battles. We're going to be talking about battles this morning. Anybody here not have a battle? Anybody here not have a trial this week? Anybody been tested? I want to tell you, that is the way of life. But God is a God of our battles. He will help us. He will meet with us. He will. Oh, there's so many scriptures, we can't give all of them. So it says here, Oh Lord, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. God has a mighty hand. He is able to deliver you. He's able to deliver me in whatever state in life we are, He is able. He has a mighty hand. Thank the Lord. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? Is there another God that is able to deliver? There is not. Every other God that is set up by man or is worshipped by man is a dead God. It is either an idol in which they bow down to. It doesn't have eyes that see. It doesn't have a mouth that speaks. It doesn't have ears that hear. Oh, I want to tell you, our God hears the cries of His people. He wants to help us. He's interested in you being successful and me being successful. He's very interested in our victories. And so there is no other God that can help you and me. And in the changes of our life, or in the victories, or in the deliverances. So there's a question in Psalms 24 and 8. It says, who is the King of glory? And it gives the answer right there in the same verse. The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battles. Oh, I'm telling you, we can trust Him. He will not fail. Has He ever lost a battle? He's never lost a battle in which He was in control. We may look around and see people that are in failure and say, well, did He win that battle? No, He didn't win the battle where He was not in control. But where God is in control, He's never lost a battle. Thank the Lord. So who is the King of glory? It is the Lord, strong and mighty, and the Lord mighty in battle. Another scripture that I have found precious to me this morning was 2 Chronicles 32 and 8. It says, with Him is an arm of flesh. Who are they talking about? Is the arm of God an arm of flesh? Absolutely not. It's talking about trusting in another source of deliverance. So the arm of flesh will fail you, the song says. The arm of flesh will fail you. But listen to this. But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon those words. You know what, this morning? You and I can rest upon the Word of God. It will not fail. We limit God. If there's any failure, it's because I have limited God. But if I will put my trust in Him, if I will keep my trust in Him and believe in Him and wait on Him, you and I must wait on the Lord. He said many places for us to wait on the Lord, and He will strengthen our heart. He says, wait, I say, on the Lord. So He will fight our battles. He will help us. And the people rested. Are you resting today on those words? Are you believing in them that He is able to deliver us all along the way? In whatever battle that I am facing, deliverance. Deliverance through our God of battles. He understands battles. He knows the battles. And if you want some time, we're going to give you one battle from the Old Testament. But it's all the way through the Old Testament where God fought the battles with unconventional weapons many times. Yes. One time there was those that were surrounded by the enemy, And they were going to fight the battle with just a trumpet and a lamp. Now, how can you win anything? Who is over that battle? God was over that battle. He didn't want any kind of another weapon to get the glory. He wanted his name to be glorified. And so here, the children of Israel have only a trumpet and a lamp. And as they encircled this place, and they blew the trumpet and broke their lamp, and the light shined out, and the enemy was, they were destroyed. And God got the glory. There were times that there were battles fought. These are literal battles, but they represent things of our spiritual battles now. We read them and learn from them, and we find what God did for them, He's going to do for us. We don't need weapons of warfare that are carnal. What does that mean? I'll tell you what. I don't need a gun under the seat of my car. I'm just alone, but am I alone? No. I've got the angel of His protection. Yes. He's going to go with me. He's going to be with me. He'll do the same for you. And so here there were thousands of soldiers that were going to go out to battle. And God said, you have too many. I want you to tell everybody that's fearful of heart to go home. And they did. And then He said, you still have too many. Listen, God can fight the battles with many or few. Yes. Whichever He chooses. He can fight your battle in one way today and another way tomorrow, and it be the same victory. And so He tells them to go down to the water. And He says, now those that lap like a dog and drink the water, that's the ones that's going to go fight your battle. And it was only 300. And it was only a fraction of the number that fought against how many came against them. And God won the battle. Mm-hmm. Over and over, you'll find this down through the Old Testament examples. I want to give you something that I read. I had not ever noticed. I had not noticed this particular verse. It's in Numbers, the 21st chapter and verse 14. And Moses wrote these words. And this is what it said. It is said in the book of the wars of the Lord. Did you ever notice that scripture before? There was a book written. It's not in the Bible. It was written for those people of that time to encourage them, to encourage their faith, to trust in God, that He was a God of battles. And so it's like a record they kept evidently, because we don't have it to read, but it was called a book of the wars of the Lord. Battles that He won for His people. What if we had a book right now that we could write down our testimonies? Oh, I was in a battle and God helped me to gain the victory, and this is how it happened. And it wasn't me. It was God, because He's the God of battles. We'd have a big book to read, wouldn't we? More than what we could even probably record. Yeah. He is a God of battles. Thank the Lord. So, we'll speak a little bit about warfare. Did you know that from the fall in the garden to this day, there's been spiritual warfare. There's been a war going on every day. Our eyes may not be able to see it, but maybe we feel it. Maybe we experience it in our time. Maybe we feel the opposing powers of darkness. That's a battle. That's spiritual warfare. And it is going to be going on to the very last minute of time itself, because there is an opposer to everything that is or has or is connected with God himself. It is Satan. We don't see him. We don't really see God. But we have a good force and an evil force that is in conflict with each other. Both are vying for your soul and my soul. And oftentimes we have said down through the years, Satan is willing to work a lifetime for your soul. Do you believe that? Is there any place that you're going to be totally exempt from Satan's temptations? No. He's alive and well. And what does the Bible say about Satan for our age? It says he knoweth that his time is running out or is short. He knows it. So what happens when you know your time is running out for an appointment? Don't you work a little harder to make sure you make it? That you can get there on time? Certainly. That's the reaction when we know that our time is running out and I need to leave at this particular time. I'm running. I'm really trying. Satan is doing the very same thing. He is hatching out more spirits in hell and sending them out into the earth. He is trying to captivate everyone that he possibly can. But the God of our deliverance and the God of our battles, he is alive and well. And he will work a lifetime for your soul and my soul. He's not giving up. He is not, you know, people say, and there is evidence that the Spirit of the Lord can withdraw from the earth. And it's because of men's hearts that are hard. But he's not withdrawing from them whose hearts are turned toward him. He's not withdrawing. He's here with us to help us, to deliver us, to fight our battles for us. Thank the Lord. So in this spiritual warfare, what is the conflict? It's good and evil. It's holiness in conflict with unholiness. The word of the Lord says, clear back in the Old Testament for the priest to teach the people the difference between holiness and unholiness, cleanness and uncleanness. What is in the eyes of God? God judges these things. That's why there's a great conflict. The scripture says that where there is no vision, the people perish. You know what that really means? Where there is no prophetic vision or preaching or teaching the difference between the clean and the unclean, the holy and the profane. If we don't teach it, then people will just be wild. That's the reference on it. They will run wild. They will have no conscience. They will have no conviction. God is a God of cleanness and holiness, and there is an opposing power that wants that to be diminished. And when you and I diminish the real essence of sin, we diminish the power of God to deliver from it. But when we look at sin and we see sin as exceedingly sinful, and we understand that sin separates me from God, that sin will send me to hell, If I look at it and believe it that way, I can turn to a God that is able to deliver. He will. And he is fighting our battles for us. And there is a battle that is mentioned in the book of Revelation. And the world gets it so twisted. And they try to make it this and they try to make it that. And they're confused about it. But you and I don't have to be confused. And it's a battle of Armageddon. Oh, you can hear of it out there. But this is all that it is. And it's the battle of our age. It's a battle that is going on right now because we're getting closer to the end of time. And this battle is simply a raging battle of right and wrong, fighting against each other. Listen, you and I, if ever we could literally see the violence of the world, the hatred, the malice that's going on in our country right now, we can see it now. It's wrong. And there are those that are praying against the wrong. They're praying against the evil. They're praying for the kingdom of God and the kingdom of righteousness to prevail with an offensive attack against the kingdom of Satan. That's the battle of Armageddon. And it's going on right now. Yes. In our world, all around us. But we are serving our God, who is a God of battles. And he can help us. We don't have to be swept away by the evil of this world. We don't have to be tempted until we are just worn down and we give in to the temptations. No, he says, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. You seen any scorpions lately or serpents? I want to tell you, God gives you and me power to tread on those things that sting us and bite us. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about literal scorpions and literal snakes and serpents. He's talking about those things that can destroy you and me. And he says, I give you power that you can walk on them. You can tread on them. Thank the Lord. So this battle, we're in this battle right now. One other thing I want to mention that Satan wants to do, according to the scripture, he wants to wear out the saints of the Most High God. What does that mean? You know, have you ever heard anybody say, just even lately, I'm so tired of being tired? You ever heard that phrase? And maybe we're weary. Maybe we can even get weary with the battle. Do you ever get weary with the battle? Listen, if you're weary with the battle, you could be in danger. Don't allow Satan to wear you out. You resist the devil because the word of God says it. It says resist him and he will flee. But you have to have that power in here. You have to have that grace working in here. You have to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You have to pray that prayer of repentance. You have to be redeemed and living for God for him to deliver us. Yes. Does that make sense? Yes. Absolutely. You cannot be a child of the devil and resist him. The scripture says a house divided against itself will not stand. Jesus even said it when he was accused of being Beelzebub himself. He says, I can't be a Beelzebub and resist him. We're on one side or the other in this battle. Here's another scripture. Exodus 15:3. It says, the Lord is a man of war. Shouldn't that encourage us today? The Lord is a man of war, and the word of the Lord says it. And then it says, there are numerous places, and we're not going to give all of them, but there's numerous places that simply say, the battle is the Lord's. He claims our battles. He's going to fight them for us. He's going to teach. There's another scripture that says, he will teach our hands to war and our fingers to fight. Now that might take on a little explanation there, but he will teach us how to fight the battles with him being our captain. Did you know the Bible says he is the captain of our salvation? He's the captain. I don't know of any war that the United States would go into, any battle, that they didn't have a general or a captain that would tell them how to do it, that would plan it all. All you have to do is just read a little bit about World War II. That battle that was over in France, I can't think of the name of it now. And they all, what? The Battle of the Bulge, that was it. And many lost their lives, but I want to tell you, they had that thing planned. God has a plan for you in your battles. He is able to deliver you in your battles. Thank the Lord. Well, I want to consider now 2 Chronicles 20. We're probably not going to read all of it for the sake of time. But this is one of my favorite places of battles. And this one has to do with Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel. And there was a great multitude that was coming out against them. And verse 3 says that Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast. And the next verse says, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. I want to tell you something. In your battles, you do have to ask the Lord for help. Yes. There is a statement, and I believe that it is in Pilgrim's Progress. And it says that it is not worth having if it's not worth asking for. Now think about it. You're not going to have the victory if you don't ask for the victory. It's got to be valuable enough that you seek God for the help and you're seeking God for deliverance and you're seeking God for victory. If you're just, oh, God's going to fight my battles for me, I just wait here and he'll just fight it, I want to tell you, you have to ask. You're going to have to seek the Lord. Ask help of the Lord, even out of all of the cities of Judah. All of the cities came to seek the Lord. Now, verse 6 is part of Jehoshaphat's prayer. That's what I like so much about this passage. O Lord God, our fathers, of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all of the kingdoms of heaven? And in thy hand is there not power and might? What is he doing? He's praising. If you are coming before the Lord and you're just giving him your, Lord, help me. Oh, he'll hear that prayer. I know he will. But he loves for you and me to honor him first and to praise him and to worship him. And Jehoshaphat is doing that before he made his request. You've got a mighty hand. You have power. You have might. You're the God of heavens. And so that none is able to stand before thee. My faith is being strengthened now, see. Nobody's able to stand before God. I've encouraged my faith in the Lord. Art not thou our God? Verse 7, part of 9. If when evil come upon us, we stand before this house in thy presence and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. Oh, this is all part of his prayer, see. Yes. He originally praised God, lifted up God, honored God, and now he's turning and he's giving his request. Are you not our God? Are you not the one that if we look toward you, that you will hear our cry and help? Thank the Lord. Behold, verse 11. Now how they reward us. Verse 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge the enemy? I'm putting that word in there. Them. You can say those words. Use the word of the Lord in your prayer. Get acquainted with the word of the Lord. You can go before the Lord with your battle. And you can say, Lord, you see what the devil is doing with me. You can use that term. And then he said, we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Oh, use these words. Say, Lord, I'm no match against the devil. I'm no match against what he's throwing at me right now. It's like a great multitude that is coming against me, but Lord, my eyes are upon you. You're the God of my battles. You're the God of my deliverance. Thank the Lord. And I skip on down in verse 15 is the answer from the Lord. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. I want to tell you, this is what God wants to do with every one of us. He wants to fight our battles for us. And then verse 7 says, you shall not need to fight in the battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord will be with you. And if you finish out that passage right there, you see that God fought the battle for them, that the enemy fought themselves and destroyed themselves, and they didn't have to fight, and they reaped the spoil, and it took them 3 days to gather up all of the spoil. What is spoil? Victories. God has the victories for us all. Thank the Lord. So I want to just say a little bit about what kind of battles that we might face today. And there's no way that it can be covered in one setting such as this. But you can find out what your battles are. You know what your battles are. A lot of times our battles are internal. Battles of the heart. Battles of the mind. You ever had a battle in your mind? The enemy coming against you with thoughts that were wicked thoughts. You didn't want those thoughts, but you had to fight and you had to cry out for help from God that you would be free from those battles of your mind. The devil wants to work with our minds. He'll bring back things that you did in your youth. Yes. He did it to Christian. When Christian was passing over the river, at his very end, he brought back the sins of his youth to his mind. And he thought he was going under. but not hopeful. Who was the companion with him? Was it hopeful? Hopeful? Hopeful said, "Oh, brother, here's the rock. Stand your feet upon it." And he was able to make it across. So Satan is going to work with our mind. He will work with us. We will have battles of temptations. Maybe we will have battles of doubts and fears. Why would I battle doubts and fears? Because it'll affect faith. It will hinder my faith. Maybe I will have a battle with anxiety. Doesn't the scripture says, be anxious for nothing? I will be with you. Don't worry about tomorrow. I will take care of tomorrow. Don't be anxious. We may have a battle in having bereavement or loss or grief, sorrow. Those are battles. But our God is a God of battles. Run to Him. He will help us. We could have a battle of affliction. That's a battle. That's a real trial. Maybe we have a battle of oppression and depression. Listen, I'm here. I don't have the time to tell it. I've told it before. But God, my God of battles, delivered me from depression completely. Oh, I've had oppression since then, but I haven't had depression. The enemy wants to oppress us. So he's the God of our battles, and he's very interested in our victories today. And so I have another scripture, John 16 and 33. And it's just as plain. It says, in the world you will have tribulation. That's just a fact. But be of good cheer. The God of battles, I put that in there. The God of battles has overcome the world. And there is another scripture that says, he will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but he will with the temptation, or he will in the battle make a way for you to escape. That's what our God does. He makes a way. He is a man. The Lord is a man of war. Pray for me.